This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. رب زدني علما
ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار I really love whenever you begin something to check into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get from those wisdoms. We Muslims, we have to be proud of what we have. There was a good intention in the quotations of all of the speakers when they took from others is good. But it would be preferable if you go to that huge encyclopedia. Don't tell me that my voice is not heard. Oh, they cannot hear. I'll understand. Had we take from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would be stronger. It gives you a lot of meanings, and also we will learn how to respect those and how to restrict ourselves within those limitations given by the Sharia. Talking about this issue, better. I remember the incident where Umar radiallahu anhu brought to the Prophet, he destroyed it. Brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a copy of Torah. This is the problem. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got mad at him. He got very angry with him. And he told him that didn't I bring the book and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, which is very clear, which contains every single thing that you need to pass a test in this life. And he told them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ مُوسَى حَيًّا لَمَا وَسِعَهُ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعِ. If Musa is alive, it will never be accepted for him except to follow me. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the book, he says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. We have already mentioned every single thing in detail in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? There is no wisdom which a Muslim need to succeed in this life that is not mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either directly found in the Quran or explained in detail by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the reason why I decided to talk about this issue is so that to remind myself first and my brothers and sisters to be proud of what we have and read a lot. When you read, you will find indications from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell you what to do and how to do it and what is the wisdom behind this. The words of wisdom are found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is full of qawaid, maxims that someone can use and succeed in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the intention of the organizers of the program. They did a lot to make it happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in the effort. The verse that is quoted is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since we're talking about the change. Muslim, how can he change himself? And the effort that a Muslim should do in order to make this change reality. They mention in that statement, the scholars, when they say, Al-Hikmatu Dallatu Al-Mu'min, Anna Wajadaha Akhadaha. The wisdom is the missing property of a believer. Wherever he finds it, he takes it. The first thing that is considered to be the wisdom is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited every single person to change. Everyone is invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change. And that was the thing that put the early generation in a success, because they accept the fact that they should change. And they believe that if they accept the wisdom brought by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will live a successful life. That's why with all of the confusion and the fighting from their parents and their family, but they accepted the change and they were patient, which is one of the topics that I think we're supposed to discuss. They were patient. Nothing shook their iman. You found those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them were burned alive. They were alive, the people used to bring them in the very hot place and put them. Khabbab said, the only thing that used to stop the punishment and the fire from burning my back was the oil that is coming from his back. But they never accept to go against that kind of change. They put effort and they were so patient. And they know the consequences, but still, since they are thinking of the benefit, which is the reward, that is mentioned here also amongst the content that Allah is going to give someone who is patient. He says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding the patient people, giving them their reward in abundance without even calculating it. So every single thing that you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a fixed reward. But when it comes to patience, the reward of patience is so big. And that's why this is one of the biggest attitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing his prophets upon. Because without patience, they can never succeed in their message. He says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نوحيها إليك ما كنت تعلمها أنت ولا قومك من قبل هذا فاصبر إن العاقبة للمتقين. Those are the news of the unseen, the information about the unseen generation, the people that came before you. You never knew anything about them. Neither you nor anybody amongst your people knows anything about those generations. You're completely blind. You don't know what happened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the story. The most accurate history is the one that is found in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. No deficiency, no lie, no mistake is 100% accurate. Because story cannot be abrogated. It's not like ruling in the Quran, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring one ruling and later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cancel it and bring something which is more appropriate to the people. The first one was set up by Allah because that was the need at that moment. But later on, another need comes. Allah subhanahu already made a decision long time ago, 50,000 years, that the ruling will come like this and it will change later on. So in terms of ahkam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed from hukum to another hukum. But when it comes to history, by the consensus of all the scholars, history cannot be abrogated. Because if you abrogate history, that means the first one is a lie. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is impossible for him to lie. Impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lie. So that's why no history was abrogated. So that's why we Muslim, we believe the most accurate history, and I'm saying this so that if you find contradiction between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran and what somebody else said, you have to close your eyes and believe that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran is 100% correct. And what somebody else has said, you understand, is 100% wrong. This is Muslim. This should be your identity. And I think it has some relation to the personality that we are supposed to deal with. Well, inshallah, I will talk about this when I translate Surah Al-Hujurat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the knowledge of the unseen. Then we're giving them to you. None of you know anything about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرْ. You see, I believe if we're going to have that kind of insight, that, I mean, it is intended here in the booklet that is given to you, which means basira. I mean, the Arabic word is more accurate, basira, basira. If you have the basira, that means you're going to read the history and the story of those people with basira. I'm telling you, this verse itself is enough for you to lead you to success. Wallahi, thummat Allah, you don't need to read all of the Quran to lead you and guide you to success. This verse itself is enough to guide you to success. This basira in human being is the most important factor that can lead you to succeed in this life. You see, a brother was walking. You see, everyone has eyes. Everyone has eyes, you see. But you see, sometimes someone will tell you, Muhammad, what happened? I passed you, I was saying salam, and you didn't even, what is this? You do not even talk, no reply, no anything, you are not even looking at me. He will tell him, wallahi, I did not see you. And to him, you saw him, because he saw your eyes looking at you. At the moment he was talking to you, that kind of basira is not there. That's why I really appreciate the statement of one of the Arabs, the poet. He says, لَعَمْرُكَ مَلْ أَبْصَارُ تَنْفَعُ أَهْلَهَا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِلْمُوصِلِينَ بَصَائِرُ. مَلْ أَبْصَارُ تَنْفَعُ أَهْلَهَا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِلْمُوصِلِينَ بَصَائِرُ. He says, I swear by, he's swearing by Allah, life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is what is intended, that is not our issue. But he says, he swear by Allah, that eyes can never benefit the owner of those eyes if this person has no basira. And that's true. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. He says, أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Why can't they travel in the earth and see the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on the earth? You know, this life is very amazing. Every single thing that you're dealing with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed an example of the past in it, so that the later generation will come and study the past and see what happened to them, who are amongst those people who succeeded in life, and what were the keys they used to succeed, and who are the people who failed, and how did they fail, what is the causes of that failure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why can't they travel so that they can use their heart, they reflect upon those images, I mean examples, that's parables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting on the earth that can lead human being to success and make something very short that is supposed to be long for you. You are supposed to do your own experiment, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarized everything for you by having the people of the past and you are the last, so that you can learn from what they do. So he said, why can they travel? They use their own eyes to see what happened. And they, if they don't travel in the book also. Read the history, the accurate history about the people of the past, and see what happened. Who were they? And what was the ending? And what was the beginning? What did they do to deserve what they got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So look at the beautiful conclusion he says, which shows that without basira, you will never succeed in life. He says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. He says, because the real blindness is not the one that is found on the eyes. The real blindness is the one that you find in the heart. That's why you see in many places a blind person being the best person in that community. Everyone knows this. He cannot see, but Allah SWT replaced that sight with something called Asira. They're the wisest and they're the best. They're the greatest in terms of attitude, and in some places they are the most knowledgeable personalities. What happened? Because they have the Basira with them. So back to that verse that I mentioned, when I said, if a Muslim understands this properly, by Allah, it will be sufficiently enough to lead you to success. He says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ. What does that mean? Take your books or go ask your grandparent, people who live with the history, people who know what happened. Go ask them to tell you about the story of those people. If they know it properly, they will explain to you in detail what did they do. And you are supposed to use your basira to understand. Because as I always mention in my example, when I talk about this issue, that qiyas has to be, utilized in this life. If I come to this place, I go out of this hole, I lost my finger. Muhammad came, he lost his finger. Shamsuddin came, losing his finger. Fatih came, loses his finger. And I was watching. What does that mean? If Ibrahim wants his finger, don't come inside. This is exactly what Allah SWT wants from us. That's why he says, when he mentioned some part of the history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say it after mentioning every prophet, he will conclude with this verse in Surah Ash-Shura. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Definitely in that which has been mentioned by us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a great message and sign for everyone to reflect. But unfortunately, most of the people are heedless. What does that mean? I should read history and understand it properly. A poet said, وَمَنْ وَعَدْ تَارِيخَ فِي صَدْرِهِ أَضَافَ أَعْمَارًا إِلَىٰ عُمُرِهِ. Whoever can be patient and read the history properly and understand it with basira, you're going to add ages on top of your age. Because they will summarize the long journey for you. People are doing their own experiment. You already know the result, and you already know the reason why you can reach to this result, because somebody else already did it. But unfortunately, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, today they're doing their own experiment. That's why they fail. Wallahi, as a Muslim, you don't need anything. Every single thing is cooked for you. All you have to do is just take it and use it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never left this life without explaining every single thing in detail. The only thing I need as a Muslim is to go through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take it and use it. That's it. But nowadays you have a Muslim who, upon hearing the truth, he will tell you that I have to make my own analysis. What kind of analysis this person is talking about? A young boy in secondary school, we're not talking about universities, in secondary school, you tell him that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, he will tell you no. You can't accept everything. You have to think first. What is he going to think of? One of the scholars was questioned by a boy from primary school, secondary school, the lower secondary school. When he asked him about a question, and the way he put the question, the sheikh got mad at him. He said, Sheikh, I'm confused. I couldn't understand this issue. So the sheikh said, people like you, if they don't get confused when they read those books, what do you think they are looking for? Because our job is to depend completely upon our scholars to get the correct explanation from them. But unfortunately, we are not doing that. I have the scholars with me. They're next to me. They're living next to me. But with the existence of these shuyukh online, Google and what is the other one? YouTube, yeah. Everyone is mufti. Everyone is mufti. And the most dangerous disease that someone is suffering from, wallahi, is a disease of the heart. If I get some illness, I look for the best doctor that exists. But when my heart gets affected, I need something to cure it. I'm suffering from those diseases that Allah SWT really wants us not to be involved in them. I would never go to someone to fix it for me. So that's the reason why I said, if you look at that verse itself, it is enough to lead you and to guide you to success in life. Read the history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't know, but we bring them to you so that you can study them. He says, مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَاصْبِرْ. He said, be patient. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Because the final and the most excellent ending belongs to the side of the believer. Let me conclude this introduction by this nature that everyone knows. You see, we have been talking about living in Islam will guide you to the success. The best example I have is the example that everyone has. You see, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he was alone. Please, 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 I want everyone to open eye, because I believe without doubt, if you are to apply the same thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to apply, you will succeed in life and you have the same result as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Success and elevation in rank is going to take place in your life. I'm telling you, you will never go down. Prophet, when he started the message, how many are they? He was alone. His wife joined, and there we go, Abu Bakr. And there were few. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I witnessed the time that I was number 4 in Islam. That means only 4 people are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Islam. They were chased and they took them out of the community. Some of them were killed. But they maintained their personality and identity, which means we are Muslims. Which I wish, I really wish that a Muslim of today will understand this. That I am Muslim and I am proud of having this name, which means Muslim. And I believe I have everything that other people don't have. They never modify the religion. They never change anything. But unfortunately, in our time, we are modifying the religion to please others so that they will not talk. But Allah SWT already refuted them 1,400 years ago. He says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. You have your deen, and we have our own deen. This is what was understood by the early generation. That's why they were patient and they never changed anything. Regardless of the consequences, they maintained that similar attitude, or a very excellent Muslim who knows no compromise in any part of his religion. That's why they succeed. Tell me who is among those kuffar who believes in what he is doing, compromising any part of his deen. They don't do. That's why they can maintain it somehow. And we the Muslims, nowadays we are believing in coming down. Compromise some part of your deen so that somebody else can understand you. Allah doesn't want that. He said, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. I'm not supposed to harm anyone, and no one is supposed to interfere my own affairs. So those companions were patient, and they maintained the religion until one of the greatest kuffar that ever exists on earth. One of those kuffar, and he's a very tyrant king, and actually they were the most powerful nation on earth in those days. This is Heracles, the king of Rome. The Roman Empire was led by Heraclius. This man was the strongest, because in those days they already defeated who? The Persians. They were only 2, either the Persians or the Romans. The Persians were gone by the Romans. So the king of the earth, who was that? Heraclius. Heracles was questioning Abu Sufyan, and he was almost going to accept Islam. Even some scholars believe that he accepted Islam, but he was hiding his religion. But that's not true. He wasn't a Muslim, but he was almost going to accept Islam if dunya did not interfere. This Heracles, ask Abu Sufyan about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. He says, هَلْ يَرْتَدُّ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ سَخْتَةً لِدِينِهِ. Was there any case whereby one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of hardship or difficulty, ever rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and committed apostasy? He said, no. This is what annoys the kuffar. Because they are killing them, they are punishing them, and no one is willing. Imagine, they said, Bilal used to tell his master Umayyah, Ahad, Ahad. What does that mean? Only one God. Only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one to be worshipped except him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he says Ahad, the master Umayyah will increase the punishment. And Bilal, whenever he sees him, he will say Ahad, Ahad. Somebody said, they ask him, why didn't you stop? You know that when you say it, they punish you more. He said, no, because it annoys them, that's why I say it. So he's not thinking of the punishment, he's thinking of making somebody who's the real enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry, and to tell him, to give him the clear signal that whatsoever you are doing, I will never change my religion. You see the patience? We don't go through these things, I'm telling you. No matter how much difficulty you're going to have, you don't know what those people suffered. Wallahi. They used to place him on the ground and bring that huge stone, and they asked kids to play with him because he was a slave. And he was patient. And they came, some of them, they killed him just like that. And at that moment, they asked one of those kuffar, was there any case whereby somebody changes religion because of the hardship? He said, no. Khubayb, they brought him and they were going to kill him. They asked him, what do you want us to do? He said, give me a chance to pray 2 rakat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They gave him a chance to pray 2 rakat. He prayed them very nice and beautiful prayers. And he told them, people, wallahi, if I'm not afraid of you thinking that I'm afraid of death, that's why I'm making them long. I will pray better than this. Someone who witnessed the event said, he converted to Islam later, he says, I saw them killing the man. There was no place in his body which is not hit by a weapon. Very ugly way of killing. This is the nature of the non-believers. We in Islam, even if you get someone after defeating them, they fight you, you fight them, after you defeat them, mutilation. You can mutilate. And you hit someone, he's about to die. Islam says, don't touch him. Don't take your revenge. If you're fighting as a revenge, you're losing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they do all kinds of this. You see, the way they're hitting the man. What I want from this story is the statement or the poetry that he was saying. Imagine someone is placed to death in this way. And he was telling them, لَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا عَلَىٰ أَيْ شَقٍ أَوْ شَقٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَصْرَعِي وَذَلِكَ فِي ذَاتِ الْإِلَهِ وَإِنْ يَشَأْ يُبَارِكْ عَلَىٰ أَوْصَالِ شُلُمْ مُمَزَّكِ. He says, they were hitting him, they were telling him, would you like to take you out of this and bring Muhammad? He says, wallahi, I will never relax in my house if I know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stepped on thorn. You're talking about putting him in like this. I will be the first person to put my life to save him. So he was telling them, I don't care. As long as I'm going to die as a Muslim, I don't care. Carry on your job. He says, I know whatever the case might be, my body is going to be taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know whatever I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. When a troublemaker, you people, you will regret. So this is how they were patient. None of them ever thought of changing his religion because of this. So we can't succeed without patience. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Be patient, Ya Muhammad, because the good end belongs to the believers. So this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started. And there we go. They chased him out of Makkah. He went to Medina, established a government. And these people, they are so troublemakers. They did not let him relax. They followed him in many battles. Badr took place. They lost. Alhamdulillah. Uhud took place. They lost. Alhamdulillah. Ahzab took place. They lost. Alhamdulillah. Hunayn, Fathu Makkah, Khaybar. In all of the battles, they're losing. And that was not sufficiently enough to tell them that this man is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not moving alone. Because that should be enough for a wise person to understand. That's why one of the kuffar, one of the Christian, told them, don't fight him, because no one ever fought a prophet and succeed. So what I want here is, you see, he started with one, and they were persecuted. They were chased and boycotted by almost everyone. For 3 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't find a proper thing to eat. They used to eat grass, they used to eat leaves, they used to eat skin, the old skin that they found on the ground, they used to take it and eat. For 3 years, imagine life was like that. But none of them was thinking of changing his religion. What happened at the end of the day? Before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was able only in Hajjatul Wada to see 100,000 people in front of him. And that's why he was so happy. It started with who? One. This is what it means when you're holding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you use the same system used by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wallahi, thumma tallahi, you will never fail in life. Prophets never fail. And the righteous people never fail. The test will come to separate and segregate between good and bad. But that is not a failure. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed me the kingdom of Persian and the Romans and also the Yemen. That means I'm going to defeat all of these people. They are going to be ruled by Islam. 10 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that promise from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place. During the time of Umar, almost one third of the world was ruled by the Muslim. This is what patience produces. When you're patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day will give you the leadership. So that's the reason why I mentioned that if every one of us is going to take that verse and read it and understand it properly, it is more than enough to guide you toward success. Because those generations, they really understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them. They make use of it. That's why they succeeded in life. They never fail. So this is what I will say, inshallah, in this regard as an introduction, which I think I cover, if not all, most of those things that were mentioned in the beginning. The remaining of the things that I did not mention, or the topic that I did not touch, understand, that is found in the beginning before Surah Al-Hujurat, inshallah, when we talk about the surah, this very, very interesting surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the one who chooses it. It's very, very interesting surah. It's short, concise, but it tells you what to do to succeed in life. And it is give you the keys for you to maintain your Muslim or Islamic identity without losing it. So inshallah, we're going to see all of these things that are introduced bi-idhnillah, being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide your patience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this program a success. But if we are patient, inshallah, until the end, bi-idhnillah, we will take something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So see you after the prayer, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you.